This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to chat with Hancock and Kelly about the world of politics. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start with this. I saw a headline on CNN about these town hall meetings, and the gist of the headline was that people are turning their anger about Trump and Musk toward the Democrats. For not doing enough fighting, and AOC said something similar. So, Michael, I'll start with you on this. How do you assess what's going on right now with the public?
Well, I think there's two things. There's what's going on in the Democratic Party and what's going on with the public. I think the public is angry. They thought they were voting for some of the things that Donald Trump talked about during the campaign, and all of a sudden now he's cutting their jobs, their benefits, etc. As it relates to the Democratic Party, this is a headless animal right now. They're trying to figure out where they are. We've seen this before, Scott. The Republicans were in a similar position after Barack Obama won. And what emerges from that is anger. And eventually policy and voices and new leaders will emerge from it. So I think this is just part of the growing pains the Democratic Party is going to go through for the next 6 months to a year while it figures out what it's going to be when it grows up, because right now the voters don't want it.
And do you think it will end up being a turnaround for the Democrats in the midterms?
Well, history's our best teacher on all of this. And anytime you have a party that takes the control the way that Republicans have, it's almost virtually impossible for them to hold it. I think that this is the start of the rebuild of the Democratic Party. What it looks like on the other side is the question, and that will dictate how successful it is.
John, you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, you're looking at a 25 to 35 seat gain for the out party in the midterms historically. And I think you'll at least see that. A lot's going to depend on what state the economy is in, obviously, when you get to November of 2026. But if economic trends don't improve, then those gains could be 45 to 50 seats in the midterm. So you would expect historically the Democrats to pick up a lot of seats. The Senate's a little bit dicier because of the particular seats that are up. A third of the seats are up in 26. So, and they've got to pick up four. But, I mean, it's doable, I suppose. I don't think that AOC and Bernie Sanders will effectively be the leaders of the Democratic Party that's going to turn things around for them. I think they're going to need to go out and find a new, fresh voice that makes sense, that is mainstream. And I think that gives them their best hope for the future.
And how would you assess what's happening with the Trump administration from an ideological standpoint? He is going toward leaner government. That's a conservative notion. He is doing things that conservatives generally in the past have done. But Is it just the execution and the way he's going about it and the abruptness and the, you know, lack of empathy? Is that why, is that what's fueling the anger, do you think, or is there something else?
Well, if you look at the numbers, Trump's base loves this stuff. And Republican voters generally are supporting the work that Doge is doing. What I think is going to be dicier for Republicans is if the president really does follow through on these tariff threats and what happens to prices, because I don't think Republicans in the main are going to be supportive of a policy that's going to raise prices on everything they buy. So, but as far as the Doge cuts go, and certainly what's happening at the border, I think the Republican Party is strongly supportive of what they've seen so far.
Michael, you want to weigh in on that?
Sure. I mean, the president's feeding the base, but he's going at this with a sledgehammer rather than a scalpel. And there doesn't seem to be much of a plan other than cutting. Surely not some provisions to make sure we don't cancel things that will save us from Ebola or, you know, guard the nuclear weapons. I think that stuff will continue to rack up. And while people may be thrilled with what's happening at the border, they may be seeing their own relative lose their job as a result of some of this, and it just doesn't make any sense to them. I think long term, the Republicans have got a problem with what they're doing here with Elon.
Here in Missouri, the legislature has been on a spring break, but getting back to work tomorrow. What do you expect or hope from the session going forward, Michael?
Well, I hope not much more. The Republicans have proved to be pretty effective this year, and I think that's a credit to Mike Kehoe's leadership. And, you know, something that kind of went across the aisle, surely the voters chose it, was, state control of the St. Louis Police Department. We've seen that. So the question is what the Republicans are up to next. And I think they're a formidable opponent right now because they've got themselves organized. They have themselves a leader in Mike Kehoe. And as a Democrat, that's never good because we're irrelevant in Jefferson City and they can pass what they want.
And John, I take it you have a different perspective on this.
Yeah, I think you're going to see some pretty meaningful school choice legislation passed this year. It's been on the floor in the Missouri General Assembly for the past several years. Bits and pieces of it have passed, and I think that dam's about to burst. And I think you're going to see some real. I think the open enrollment legislation is going to pass. It's been tried and failed a couple of times. I think that's going to pass. I think you're going to get some meaningful reforms in virtual education, that students where parents choose to educate their children virtually are going to have more and better options. So I think that probably will be the hallmark of the second half of the legislative session. Plus, they've got to pass a budget, and the fiscal constraints in 2025 are in worse shape than they have been in the past several years. So that'll be a bit of a challenge as well. And to Michael's point, They're playing very well with, you know, the team right now in a way that we haven't seen Republicans in Jefferson City do in quite some time.
Since you brought up education, Trump trying to get rid of the Department of Education, the federal one, and leave it to the states. How concerned should public schools be, in your opinion, John? I'll start with you about this.
Well, public schools in Missouri shouldn't be very concerned because their revenue is derived almost entirely from state government and local property tax revenues. Where I think you do need to be mindful when you get rid of the Department of Education, and I'm all for that, by the way, you've got to protect those programs that help students with disabilities, special school districts in St. Louis County and special education needs elsewhere, because those programs are disproportionately funded by federal money. Now, those programs can continue in a different place, and President Trump has said that is the case. We'll see. And then the other thing is access to college through Pell Grants. That was a big part of the Department of Education spending. I suspect those programs will live on elsewhere, maybe in the Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Final thoughts from you, Michael.
Well, I think John's right in the sense that, you know, the Republicans are excited about getting rid of the Department of Education. He outlined a pretty rosy scenario there where other agencies absorb this and it's a seamless transition. I would ask, what has shown us about the process that the Trump administration's done to this point that showed us that it's not disruptive and that it's not going to ultimately hurt kids? Look, this is what the president said he was going to do. It's what Republicans have wanted to accomplish. They are going to deliver on this. I think that the opposing party has to make sure we hold them accountable and that people don't get hurt. Oddly enough, most of the folks who will be affected by the cuts of the Department of Education live in rural America, and they voted pretty heavily for Trump. So this is high-stakes poker.
Michael Kelly, John Hancock, thanks, guys.
See you.